to our lives in a new way. It's not that it changes, it's that we see more. It's always alive. And I would like to talk today about the blood of Jesus, that it will never lose its power. The blood of Jesus. I cannot speak about it enough because that is the foundation upon which our lives must be built. It's the foundation upon which our church must stand, the blood of Jesus. I would like to just recognize the anointing right now, if you'll just bow with me. Holy Spirit, sweet Spirit of God, I pray that you will let your anointing come and minister to our hearts. Let us receive your word, and God, I pray that you will anoint me to give the word that you have shown to me and that you've given to me. I ask you, O God, to search our hearts. Make us different people. Make us more than what we have been in the past. I pray, O God, that you will help us, prepare us for your soon coming. We know that it is near, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in an age today where some churches do not like to preach about the blood of Jesus or sing about the blood of Jesus. Some refer to it as a bloody gospel. You say, well, I've never heard that. Well, I hear it all the time. And they say it's like a slaughterhouse religion. But the blood of Jesus, if he had not shed his blood, you and I would be eternally lost. So the blood of Jesus, I will speak and we will stand for it as long as we're here. We could never receive forgiveness without that precious blood. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. When God demanded a proper sacrifice for Cain and Abel, the blood of a lamb was required. When the death angel passed through Egypt, the blood of a lamb was placed on the doorposts. When the high priest entered the most holy place on the Day of Atonement to ask forgiveness for the sins of Israel, he took the blood of an unblemished lamb. And that blood was sprinkled over the people as well as on the mercy seat. When God demanded one final sacrifice to pay for all the sins of the world, he required the blood of the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus will never lose its power. It will never lose its effectiveness. It will always be just as powerful as it ever has been. Human blood has a very short lifespan. I am told that the average person has about 10 pints of blood in his or her body. Over half of it is liquid, called plasma. And most of the rest of it is made up of red cells, which die after 120 days and are constantly being replaced. In contrast, let's consider one of the most non-perishable things on earth is gold. You hear it advertised, invest in gold. Well, not even salt water affects it. Even if it lies in the salt water for centuries, it does not deteriorate or harm the gold. Gold is a precious metal that is very special. But in 1 Peter, Peter said, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold." He calls that perishable in comparison, that you were redeemed from the empty way handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. I'm telling you that the blood of Jesus is more precious than any silver, gold, or any precious stone, because it will redeem and change your life. It will get you into the presence of God, and nothing else can. In this verse, Peter meant to draw attention to a tremendous truth. The world thinks that gold or money is everything. Today we have people that are working frantically, and you hear on the radio, you hear them talk about you've got to invest now in this and that, and the world looks pretty shaky, and that's true. I'm going to tell you what, this world will pass away. none of the gold and none of the silver and none of the precious things that we cling to or mankind tends to cling to will last. But Peter wanted us to see that it has no spiritual value. Gold or silver has no value. But he said the blood of Jesus has lasting value and eternal rewards. It is more precious than gold or silver. The blood of Jesus does what money cannot do. It cleanses us from sin. Money will not take away your sin. It will not take away the guiltiness. It will not take away the depression or the unhappiness that's in your life. It cannot do it. The blood of Jesus has the power to remove sin and not just cover our sins, but to remove them. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, we read there where John says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. There's coming a day when that old devil will be cast down. And he says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Your testimony, your trust in the blood of Jesus is what makes you an overcomer. And they did not love their lives to the death. The power of the blood of Jesus gives us effective weapons against demon powers. When the blood of Jesus is mentioned, Satan and all his demons tremble. Do you know that? When you just mention the blood of Jesus, I remember that I've told you perhaps before that my husband and I went in to pray for a woman. He was oppressed, and she was in an institution, not just one time, but many times we did that. And this woman, when he began to pray, she screeched out in a voice that was not hers, don't say that word. Don't say the word Jesus. Don't say the blood. Don't say the blood. Because Satan is defeated by the blood of Jesus. And he said, Satan remembers that Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. Satan knows that he's defeated by the blood. There, of course, he didn't know it when Jesus was crucified. Had he known, he would have interfered and said, no, let's not crucify him. But he thought he had it made. He thought he was going to destroy God's way, but he only allowed it to happen. God knew what he was doing. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus, in the Lamb of God. The blood of Jesus cleanses from sin, delivers from bondage, protects, revives that which is dead, whether it's a marriage, whether it's financial depravity, whatever it is, the blood of Jesus is the one that is what brings life. It has the power to overcome anything that confronts us. But there is a condition. There is a condition. We must surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus. We must be completely yielded to him. What does that mean? Well, in John, the 6th chapter, Jesus said, verily, truly, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. He said, it wasn't Moses that gave the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. It wasn't the manna like you said, oh, that was great. And they've had it in the Ark of the Covenant. He said, but the Father gave the true bread from heaven. What was that bread? It was Jesus. He said, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus is that bread that gives life. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. They didn't understand what he was saying. Everything was on a material level. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. You see, there is an eternal life. We will never die. Will this body? Oh, yes, this body. We'll leave this body. But we have eternal life if we have taken part in that precious bread of life. And he said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Now, that upset some of them. He said, this bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. There were some of the disciples that heard that, and they began to argue, and they said, what in the world is he talking about? He wants us to go and take a bite of his body, his flesh. But they did not understand the spiritual application. And Jesus said, they asked Jesus, he said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said, verily, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You say, that sounds absurd. It sounds terrible. But listen, he said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, some religious groups tell you that, like we took communion, that it miraculously becomes the literal blood and miraculously becomes the body of Christ. No, that isn't true. We don't believe that. Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me. There's the key. How do we eat his flesh and drink his blood? He said, and I in them. We become merged with him. We become one with him. And he said, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Jesus says, I'll have the relationship with you like I had with my Father. You will become one. And that's how you partake of that. Then Jesus, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We know that is true. When we selfishly try to hang on to something, we lose it. We cannot. Even in our family, sometimes we hold so tightly and we try to make decisions that we cannot make. But he said, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? That's what Jesus asked. And that's what I say. What profit is it if we gain everything, but if we do not have that relationship with Jesus Christ? And only through his blood. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There are many people who've given up everything in this world, material things, and all of given up knowing Jesus to gain the material things. I've got that backwards, I'm sorry. We at Living Waters Church give thanks for and acknowledge the power of the blood of Jesus and the life in his broken body, which took the stripes for our healing. His body took those stripes, 39 stripes. It wasn't just stripes. It ripped his body apart. And he did it for you and for me. Salvation and healing is free for us. But it was purchased at a very great price. Jesus paid a great price for us to receive that. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, we read here, when the hour had come, Jesus sat down and the apostles with him, and he said, with fervent desire, and we talked about this a little bit, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, he said. Jesus knew he was going to the cross. He talked about it, told his disciples several days, 6 days before he went. He talked about it. They couldn't receive it. He said, I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. There's coming a day that we will eat at that last Passover supper with Jesus. And then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. When it's recognized. And he took bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. do this in remembrance of me. We do it remembering what we receive because of that sacrifice. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And then he went out in the 22nd chapter of Luke. He went out to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed to doing. He went there routinely to pray. And he said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will. That prayer is a prayer that we need to pray in our lives. Many times we come against an obstacle. We say, I cannot face this alone. We say, God, take this away. Take it away. But Jesus surrendered. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And we need to pray the same way. It's not always what we think is best for us that's best. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. And being in agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly. And there's where he shed his first blood that he shed. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Such agony that it was expressed by the loss of blood through his sweat. And Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. I'm just giving you highlights. They twisted a crown of thorns, and the thorns that they twisted were not little bitty. They were very painful and poisonous thorns. And put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. They mocked him and made fun of him. And then he delivered him to them to be crucified. And I'm skipping over a lot of this. You can read it. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, the place of death. I never can understand why it is that young people today, not just young people, want to wear a skull unless it's to remind them of the price that Jesus paid for their healing, for their salvation. And it's called Golgotha, and there they crucified him with two others with him, one on either side of Jesus. There were two thieves, and you remember the story of that. I won't go into it. But one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear when they were going around to check if they were dead. And they would see, because they would break their legs, but we know that it was prophesied, Jesus, not a bone in his body would be broken. And it was not. And so the soldier pierced his side with a spear because he was already dead, and blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified. The witness here says, I saw it. And this testimony is true. I know that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. It was prophesied 2,000 years before, the way it would happen. And it happened exactly as it was told, prophesied. Another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. The Bible is a book of blood. More than 700 times the blood is mentioned in the Bible, the blood. The Word of God is a living word, different from all other books for just one reason. There is blood circulating through every page and in every verse. It talks about the blood. There was a sacrifice needed, and it required blood. Why blood? The life is in the blood. Jesus gave his life for us that we might have eternal life. The precious blood of salvation is woven throughout the Bible like the central theme of a priceless piece of tapestry. It's like everything in the Word, it's about the blood. The scarlet thread runs through every page. Jesus willingly shed his blood. Even though he was there in that garden, he could have called, 10,000 angels? He could have called legions of angels to deliver him. He had the choice, but he said, not my will, thine be done, because he knew only by his sacrifice could we have eternal life. He agonized so greatly because he knew he had to become sin. I believe the agony was not just the physical pain that he was going to endure. It was because he knew he would be separated from God. He had to become sin so that we could become righteous. He knew that God could not look upon sin, and he still cannot look upon sin. He still cannot overlook your sin. There's only one who could take it away, and that is Jesus. And God does not look upon sin, and he cannot be involved with that. So Jesus would have to suffer separation from God so that we could be set free from the bondage of sin and gain access to God. You remember when he died, how the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. If it had been from the earthquake, it would have ripped from the bottom up. But God reached down and he said, the price has been paid. Man can have access to me now through the price that Jesus paid. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, it says, Paul wrote, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He didn't just take our sin. He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And Mark says, for the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. The Bible teaches that all of us are in bondage. If we do not receive the deliverance, men are called slaves to what? Some people say they're slaves to the devil. No, they're slaves to sin. John, the 8th chapter, it tells us that men are called slaves to sin. And then in Romans, the 6th chapter, men are called slaves to sin. What is it that trips them up? Oh, yes, Satan tempts them, but it's the sin that many people are tempted. We don't have to submit to that, surrender to it. It's sin that brings us into slavery. And then we are sold under sin in the Romans, the 7th chapter. Sin may not seem very bad to some. I hear it often. Well, I'm not as bad as this person. He claims to be such and such, and I'm not as bad. God never compares you to somebody else. He called you to live a clean and righteous life. And he said, and so they say, an infinite and a perfect God sees it all. He does not compare you to somebody else, only to Jesus. In Romans, the 3rd chapter, verse 23, you know that familiar verse. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But he gives the remedy. The wages in the 6th chapter, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. It's not just physical death. It is eternal death. It is separation from God. And if you say, well, that's not so bad if there's not a hell, well, I'm telling you, there is a hell. And but separation from God is enough that I don't want to go there. And he says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the perfect sinless blood of Jesus Christ is everything needed for complete cleansing from sin. Everything, every sin. Somebody may say, but my sin is too great. It's an insult to God to tell him, my sin is too great, the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. The blood of Jesus is so precious and so sacred, it would be an insult to God for you to say, he cannot take away my sin, he cannot remove it. He will take it away as far as the east is from the west. They do not meet. In him, Ephesians, the 1st chapter, verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. His grace is rich. He has saved us. He loves us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. No, from all unrighteousness. We can experience victory over sin. We do not have to live under the bondage of sin. The believer is sanctified. He's made holy by the blood of Jesus. That's what sanctified means, set apart and made holy. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 12, Jesus suffered outside the city gate. Why? To make the people holy through his own blood. He became a criminal so that we could become a child of God. He was crucified where criminals are crucified. The sinless blood of Jesus satisfies the requirements of God. In Colossians, the first chapter, verses 19 and 20, it says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. God was pleased that his son suffered." You say that sounds harsh. Well, it's because that's the only way you and I could be redeemed. And he was willing to pay that price. "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Only Jesus can redeem from sin. There are some people, and I have had people tell me, "Oh, you don't know my dad. He's perfect. He could pay the price. He could, take my place and redeem me." Psalm 49 says, verses 7 through 9, "No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them." You cannot take the place. You cannot bear the burden and redeem them. Only Jesus. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough so that they should live on forever and not see decay. The only one who can do that is Jesus. He can do it. Sometimes there are parents that try really hard to redeem and to excuse the sin or the bad behavior of children, but you can't do it. Only Christ can do that, and they must receive him and accept him as their personal Savior, accept him as the payment for sin. In 1 Corinthians, it says, the first chapter, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Wow, that's a pretty rich gift that he has given to us. In him, we can receive the wisdom of God. We can receive his righteousness. We can be sanctified, set apart, made holy, and we can be redeemed. Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. He has become that to us. In Proverbs, the 8th chapter, it says, "Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." If you find Christ, if you find wisdom, Jesus is wisdom. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Everything in this world cannot be compared to the wisdom and the preciousness of Jesus. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." I heard a man that was in ministry that said, "I had a problem." He said, "I couldn't memorize anything. I couldn't remember things. I was in school. They put me back I was held back all the time." And he decided, when he surrendered his life to Christ, he said, "I decided to memorize the scripture." And I began to memorize, and he said, "I was healed of that, because the wisdom of God brings healing. It's better. It can't be compared with anything else. The law of the Lord is perfect. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." What does it mean, the fear? It means the honor, the regard, the recognition of who he is, the glory. It doesn't mean that I'm scared I'm going to go hide from him. It means that I honor him and I give him glory and honor. In Proverbs, he said, "If you receive my words," the writer says, "and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to wisdom, to understanding. If you cry out for discernment, these things," he said, "and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure." And what is this you're searching for? It is found in Jesus Christ. It's found in him. "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord." Then you will understand how awesome and how holy and glorious he is. "And you will find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom." I think of a picture of redemption that I used to tell my kids when they were in the class, when I taught the little kids, and we told the story about a little boat. A picture of redemption can be illustrated by the story of a boy who made a wooden boat. He used fresh paint, and he was so proud of his workmanship. He worked on it diligently. The boy placed the boat on the river, and the wind caught the sails. And soon this precious boat was out of reach and gone. He was grief-stricken as he searched for days but could not find his boat. Several weeks later, the boy saw his boat in a pawn shop. He entered the shop and cried, "My boat, I made it myself." The boy demanded it, but the owner gave a harsh refusal. He said, "I bought it myself. If you want it, you must pay the price. You can't just come in and demand it, whether you made it or not." The boy left the store with a heavy heart. It would take many days to save enough money to pay the asking price. When Jesus made us, he made us and we were his. But then we sailed away. Satan took us away, and we were no longer where he had placed us. But he said, "I'll pay the price." And so the little boy worked hard. And sooner than expected, because he had to work diligently, the boy had the money. He rushed to the store, laid down the money, and demanded, "I want my boat." This time he received it, and as he left the store, the boat was tucked tenderly under his arm, and he said, "You are mine, little boat, twice mine. Once because I made you, and twice because I bought you." This is a picture of how we belong to Christ. Once because he made us, created us in his own image, and twice because he purchased us when we went astray, when we were lost, he came and paid the price that we could be redeemed. Amen. There are some people who seem to want to walk on the fringes, on the edge, and stay just as far away from God or the presence of God, and they want to be close to the world. But I'm telling you, I don't want to be at the edge. I want to be walking with Jesus. I want to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, because that's the only way that I can be one with him. And you say, how can you do that? It's by giving your life up and saying, "Yeah, I'm yours, Lord. Make me one with you, just as you, Jesus, were one with the Father. I want to be one with you." If you have not, if you're watching perhaps this telecast today, and you have not accepted Christ and made him Lord of your life, and you say, "That's a hard teaching. I don't know how to do that." But all you have to do is say, "Jesus, come into my life. I want to be one with you. I want you to be the helmsman. I want you to direct my life." And he will do that. And he has paid a great price to make you what he wants you to be. We're not like somebody else. We are defined explicitly like he wants us to be. And he will come in. Let us just pray together as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to redeem us from sin, from evil. We thank you that you paid that price, that in that garden you said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And Jesus, you became sin that we might become your righteousness. And those who are watching today, I pray, O God, as they surrender to your lordship and ask you into their life, you will come in. We give it all to you. We cannot fix the broken things in our lives, but you can fix it, you can redeem us, and you can wipe it away. I pray, Lord, that you will do that. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have asked Christ into your life, you are a new person. And you can forget the old past. I'm not saying that there are not consequences. Sometimes if you've stolen something, you might have to pay it back. But he will forgive, and he will give you a new lease on life, and he'll make everything new. I thank you today for joining us at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande. We welcome you to join us next week, and I pray that you will have a blessed week as you fellowship with Christ. Okay. I don't know if there's somebody here who wants prayer. If you want special prayer, we are here to pray with you before we are dismissed. Okay? Scott, all right, you want to come up here? And the elders or those that can pray will pray.